The head coach of the Northwest Track and Field Program, Brandon Masters, is with us. And, Brandon, it's hard to believe, but another portion of your schedule gets rolling this weekend, the indoor season with the Mel Churchman Classic over at the Hughes Fieldhouse.
Yeah, exactly. 2 weeks ago, we are in Sacramento and worried about the cross-country boys and competing at the national championship. And here we are 2 weeks later hosting the meets and indoor track and field. It's an exciting time.
Well, the track and field team really set the bar high for you guys, Ed.
Well, cross country, man, with the fifth place nationally, amazing job. I mean, Gibson had them ready to run, and the boys competed, and they did set the bar really high. And, you know, it's up the track guys to and ladies to do their thing. And certainly we benefit from having those distance boys in running for track as well.
Oh, yeah. And they help you out just a little bit, don't
Absolutely.
They? Absolutely. Well, and you're number two for the Mel Churchman Classic at the indoor facility there at the Hughes Fieldhouse. And, boy, it's going to be tough to top the year you had last year just as far as the reviews for the Fieldhouse. I mean, I think year one, everybody came away just kind of awestruck at, boy, that Fieldhouse came together.
Hughes is an amazing place, and we knew that having practiced on it all fall of last year prior to our meets. We just hoped that we could pull off some very professional meets, have a lot of teams there to really showcase what we have here at Northwest with Hughes Fieldhouse. And after last year, we hosted 4 meets, culminating in the MIAA championship meet, which was unbelievably successful. We expect our meets to be more competitive even this year because the word is out. The place is fast. It's a great meet, a great atmosphere. And again, you know, going into this weekend, we have a lot of teams ready to come to Northwest and Maryville and run on our track.
How many teams do you have coming in right now?
Right now it's 15. It closes here in the next hour, so we'll know for sure. But we feel like 15 full teams as far as they're bringing 40-plus athletes, and then we have another 5 or 6 teams that are bringing just a few athletes. Really, we have a lot of teams coming down for our Elite 5K, which will be run on Friday evening.
How far are they coming from as far as this meet, as far as bringing in teams here?
Well, we have a team from Augustana's coming down. You know, they're bringing their distance guys, and we do have MSU Morehouse coming down. So we have a few people on the road for 4, 5, 6 hours.
And as far as, Northwest coming into this, some good news today with some national rankings for both your men's and women's teams.
Yeah, we're excited about the national rankings. You know, certainly men being tabbed for 8th place nationally in preseason poll. And that has a lot to do with the strength of our people coming back. You know, Kareem and Omar with Omar Austin, what he did last year, Marcus. These guys are really the returners are what they look at. What they don't know is all the other guys that we have that won't go into that ranking. And so, you know, guys like Jordan who ran this fall for cross country and some of the other guys that we'll have running this weekend.
And on the women's side, just talk about the ranking there.
Well, the women were really exciting to us. We thought we could be in the top 20 with the preseason poll with who we had coming back. You know, certainly Jordan, the Mercedes, you know, but Heba. But we also have you know, Audrey and Alex coming back from the redshirt seasons indoors last year. And so we're really excited with the 14th ranking. It's a great place to start for these ladies.
And with, we mentioned that you had a year with the Fieldhouse, a year as far as coaching, is coming as a head coach as well. Talk about the recruiting in the offseason. You touched about some new players coming in that a lot of people don't know about even, but just talk about how that year really helped out as far as the recruits that you're bringing in.
Well, you know, when Nick and I arrived here, we had a week before the kids came in, and so we didn't have a recruiting class, obviously, for this year. So this group coming in is our first recruiting class, and you kind of got a glimpse of what we had accomplished during recruiting with our cross-country team. And so, again, those guys will be coming over to the track side with Augustine and Jordan that are new to the team in the cross country. So they'll be in with track and field. But then other guys like Tyrell, you haven't heard that name. Tyrell's going to be a fun one to watch as well. 800, 400 guy, 4x4 will be even stronger this year than it was last year. So, you know, with some of that strength, with also a huge class of ladies. We had 14 ladies, freshmen, come in this year, and we're really excited about them as a group, but also some high-end talent. You know, Jade is going to be high jumping for us. She'll be fun to watch. Jaleesa in the long and triple. So we got a lot of great ladies that are freshmen, that, but they will be immediately relevant to us in team scores, certainly in the MIAA, but also at the national level.
Now, your distance runners obviously have been involved with some competitions throughout the fall, but I imagine the rest of the group is pretty anxious to get out there and get into some actual competition. They've been at it hard all throughout the fall, working and getting ready for this, so I imagine they're looking forward to just getting out there and doing it for real this weekend.
Yeah, it's been really hard holding those guys together. It's been 14 weeks of training, and, you know, we're ready for this. You know, the kids are very fit right now. I don't know that they're technically perfect yet. We'll work on that as things go. But I know that we're ready to compete mentally, and that's what's exciting. They just want to get the jersey on and do it for real.
And what is the difference between going through practice and then getting out there and doing it for real as far as making that adjustment mentally?
You know, I think the big thing is for us coaches, we get to find out who is a gamer, if you call it that. You know, when the kids that show up when the lights are brightest, they really are competitors. You know, we see it in practice occasionally, but a big group of them really don't show who they are until they really compete, get the jersey on, and are actually in competition mode. And so we're really excited about seeing who our team really is, the composition of our team, and I got a feeling that we're going to get some big surprises this weekend. I think I know my team really well, and I believe that we'll compete at a high level, but there's always those fun ones that are really exciting that just come out of the woodwork.
He gets underway on Friday, last through Saturday. Just take us through some of the main events each day that and the times that people might want to get out and take in this event coming up.
Right, I think that we start with the multi, and we have one guy, Brock. He'll be in the multi starting on Friday, ending on Saturday. He has seven events over the 2 days, four on Friday. And but our ladies go Friday. We have a solid group of upperclassmen ladies that will compete in the pentathlon, which is five events. They'll do all five Friday afternoon and into the early evening, and finishing with the 800. So it's going to be a lot of work for them, but they're excited. They're ready to go, and all three of them could be nationally ranked. They're very good, and it's an exciting team to watch. Right after they finish, we're going to have our 5Ks. The big one, I think, is our Elite 5K. That will be a really exciting race. We have probably the best 5K race set up in the nation for a while. It'll be really exciting to watch. We have eight All-Americans out of cross-country coming to Hughes Fieldhouse to run with our guys to try to set marks for the national meet in late February. So I think we're going to have a lot of guys sub-14:20 in a 5K, may even, unbelievably, there's talent enough to see maybe a guy dip under 14, which is pretty astounding on the indoor track.
And we touched on this a bit last year leading up to this meet and what it means economically for the community as well. When you bring in this many teams, of course, they bring in their family and friends as well to come and watch this. So it really brings in a lot of people into the community for a weekend.
Yeah, you know, the nice thing about track and field that's different than a lot of other sports is that they come in and they stay all day. So they come in and leave for lunch and come back to watch their kid or loved one compete maybe a couple hours later. So, you know, our meet will start, you know, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., I believe, with the multi starting off. And we won't finish until 8 o'clock at night. And so when you have, you know, we're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 to 800 athletes at this meet. Like I said, 15 teams, and those people bring grandmas and grandpas and parents, and so many of these teams will spend the night as well at these bigger meets.
Let's talk after the meet this weekend and go on as far as the rest of the season here. What's the next steps after this weekend?
Well, the hard part about track and field is we get to practice all fall. We have one meet, and then we send them home for Christmas break. And we won't start up again until January 18th. We'll start with a limited squad going over to Nebraska-Lincoln to run on their track. And then after that, about every weekend until indoor conference championships, which will be late February. And then nationals the second week of March. And then technically we're right into outdoor, so it's right bang, 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 cross to indoor to outdoor.
Yeah, as far as track and field goes, there's really no off season for you guys, is there?
There really isn't. And especially our distance guys and gals, I mean, they've been training all summer long for cross country. Well, we give them a week off or so, and you know, where they don't have to compete. We do have some guys that are competing this weekend. And then right into indoor, right? So they just don't have a break. It's pretty amazing. And Coach and I, we have to keep up with these kids, so it's kind of hard going year-round.
Hey, with the distance runners too, is there any type of difference as far as training for the indoor season, maybe the outdoor season later, as opposed to the cross-country season? What are some of the differences there?
Well, you know, at national championships and regionals is 10K. And so a lot of these guys are stepping up a lot to get to the 10K. And we have a miler on our team, and specifically that he was our fifth guy at Nationals, a point scorer at Nationals, and he'll be relevant for us in indoor track and field in the mile. That's a lot different. So we're at 1,600 meters versus 10,000. You know, so it's a lot different training. So he's got a great base, aerobic base, and so he's going to have to do a lot of workouts to kind of get his legs moving a lot faster than he's used to on a cross-country course.
How much of a difference does the Hughes Fieldhouse make, too, as far as and you talked about the Christmas break and trying to make sure that the athletes stay fit over break time. Do you see enough of them come back maybe a little bit early so they can continue to work in that field house there a bit?
Well, John, I don't want them to even leave, honestly. We've done so much. I'd love to keep them here full time, but obviously we can't do that. So what we do have is a big upperclassman group, and so we'll find most of those guys, they're ready to come back and get back to work early January and have a couple of weeks prior to our first meet. The harder part is our freshmen, you know, that are in the dorms, and they're not, you know, obviously allowed to be in the dorms before they're open. And we got a big freshman class, and so when you got 22 freshmen without a place to be, only so many upperclassmen couches to crash on or what have you. But they'll come in about a week before our first meet and maybe be a little bit behind some of the upperclassmen, but we definitely are here. We're training, and there's only a small window that the NCAA says we can't be with them. And so at that point, it's Christmas and family and take care of business home, and then come back to Maryville and get to work as soon as you can. It's my philosophy.
Do you send a little sheet with them on what, if they get a chance to do some workouts while they're home?
Oh, now? Yeah. They have a daily workout plan, lifting to running. It's like I send it to them, so it's no different than if they were here. I just would hope that they are smart. It's if it's a speed workout and it's 25 degrees out, maybe we ought to change that. So I do get a lot of calls during the winter break, and we modify workouts based on what tools they have available.
Yeah, I imagine you hope too that they don't get in any ice situations where they might slip and hurt themselves a little bit there too.
Yeah, that's the hard part. You know, certainly Omar has one up on the crew because he's from Florida, so he can just lace his shoes up and go outside anytime. So he comes back pretty fit.
I bet so. Well, again, a fun weekend coming up with the Mel Churchman Classic and opening of the indoor season. And again, just take us through what you're looking for this weekend with your teams.
Well, I think the biggest thing is I'm not worried about the numbers. I want the kids to come in and carry themselves as a team. I want them to warm up properly and compete. Just go compete. I'm not worried about what the number is. We're not in a place where we're ready for our biggest marks. If we do get big marks, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be happy about it. But at the same point, I think we have to manage our expectations, and we have to manage my expectations as well. I want to win right now, but conference is not for a while, and we've got a lot of training to go. We're fit, but we're not in a place where we can be at our best yet. And that takes time. Fortunately, with track and field, we don't have a win-loss record. We have a meet that we have to be great for, and that doesn't happen until late February with our MAAA championships.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Again, that is Brandon Masters, the head track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State. Once again, the opening indoor meet of the season coming up this weekend over at the Hughes Fieldhouse on the Northwest Missouri State campus is the Mel Churchman Classic. That's coming up again Friday and Saturday. We'll be back and have more for you from the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, right after this timeout from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.COOP.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high security master key system setup and maintenance. More at 660-582-3131 or at MarryvilleGlassandLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Northwest Missouri State football on the road this weekend, taking on Ferris State in the third round of the NCAA Division II playoffs. And Northwest Missouri State co-offensive coordinator, associate head coach Charlie Floor joining us now. Coach Wright also joining us here momentarily. And Coach, take your time. Get in. Northwest Missouri State 12-1 now on the season, coming off a 63-7 win over Lindenwood just last week. And 35-0 at halftime, Northwest Missouri State ended up rushing for 413 yards on the day, 75 of those and two touchdowns coming from Justin Rankin. Also 16 carries, 178 yards, and two scores from Isaiah Strayhorn. Coach, we appreciate you coming in and joining us here on the Coaches Show. We had your wife in a couple weeks. We had all the coaches' wives come in, and I assume she told you, hey, this is pretty easy to get up here in front of everybody, right?
It is, man. You want to talk about pressure, you know, coming in here and after the performance they put on a couple weeks ago, got a lot to live up to, but definitely excited to be here tonight and talk a little Bearcat football.
Well, they set the bar pretty high, so we appreciate you coming in and joining us here this evening. And into the region championship here for Northwest Missouri State in football. Coach Wright's going to make you move over. It's his spot. His headset, too. Don't worry, we got you set up. Coach Wright, we appreciate you hopping on with us, too, and on to play Ferris State in the region championship. And we touched on this a little bit last time, too, I think. But anytime Northwest Missouri State football is together over the Thanksgiving holiday, that's what it's all about. That's one of those ones you check mark off. And going through last week, what was that like, having the team together? And basically, campus is just, you know, football. It's all you guys, football all the time. It had to be pretty fun.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the thing about that's special, I think, is you, if you grow up as a football player, a football coach, and all those years, your life and Thanksgiving is centered around family and football. And, you know, it's just something special about being able to practice on Thursday morning and be around the kids. And then, you know, a lot of our families were able to get together and do Thanksgiving, and all of our kids are together. And, you know, for Charlie and I, we're from a long ways away from home. So that that connection with our staff and with our players, I think, is pretty neat.
Coach Floor, what did you get here in 2002 or 2003?
I was here as a graduate assistant in 2002. Then 2003, left for a couple years over to Truman State University and then came back after the 05 season. So been here full-time since 06.
What was 2002 like, getting together at Thanksgiving and with everybody?
You know, it was great. You know, like Coach Wright said, me being from Wyoming, my wife and I, and went to school in South Dakota. You know, coming down here and, you know, Coach Churchman taking a chance on me, you know, really had no affiliation with the program other than Coach Wright and Coach Dorrell, who I had known within my college ranks, playing for both of them. They did a great job. they must have lied for me because they got me down here. And, you know, with Coach D taking a chance on me and coming into the program, you know, we went 12-0 that year, ended up being a conference champion, which was the first time, you know, I'd won a conference championship at the collegiate level. So very, very happy with that. And, you know, having that first Thanksgiving weekend here in Maryville, Missouri was definitely special. And, you know, fortunately for me, we've been able to have a lot of Thanksgivings together. And, you know, those are special moments that I know we'll never forget.
Coach Wright, a graduate assistant in 1996?
1995 and 1996, yeah.
And then left for a little bit, came back around.
Right.
Did you guys imagine, Coach Floor from Wyoming and Coach Wright from New York, did you guys imagine that you'd be end up living in Maryville, Missouri for the majority of your lives?
No way in heck. mine was all by circumstance. You know, wasn't really sure what I was, you know, got done at Cortland State and was trying to figure out what I was going to do. Went down to a football coaches convention, met a guy by the name of Jim Krieger, who was the defensive coordinator at Dana College at the time. And, you know, I had a PE degree but without an education endorsement and wanted to get that. And he said, well, I'll basically make you a graduate assistant if you come out to Blair, Nebraska and coach. And so I jumped in a 1981 Chevy Camaro and drove sight unseen to Blair, Nebraska. I'd never been west of the Mississippi River. I was there. He told me I'd only need to be there a year, but with I'm not sure he was privy to the academic standards and what had to be done. Took me a year and a half to finish up, and he knew two guys. He knew Scott Boswick and Jim Swoboda from their time at Nebraska Wesleyan. So I came down and interviewed that spring, and you know, like Coach Flores said, Coach Churchman took a chance on me and was fortunate enough to have him bring me back in 2004, and I've been here ever since.
I think that's how most people end up in Nebraska, is just going there sight unseen, because if you had known what you're getting into, right?
No doubt about it. It's pretty flat.
Coach Floor, how'd you end up from Wyoming and Maryville?
Graduated high school, and then my freshman year, Coach Wright was one of our assistant coaches at Dakota State University. He and another coach on staff, actually two other coaches on staff, were graduate assistants at Northwest Missouri at the time. So just had some great ties and felt like home there in Madison. Was there for 4.5 years. Got an offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator my senior year by the guy by the name of Adam Dorrell. So I got 1 year to coach under him, or to play under him. And then my fifth year was able to essentially be a student assistant while I did my student teaching, and you know, was wanting to get into the profession. Had two options. One was here, one was at Baker University over in Baldwin City, Kansas, where Coach Bergen was at, who originally hired me, and you know, felt like Maryville was the best place for us. You know, being from Wyoming, Maryville and Gillette are very similar in the type, you know, not very big towns. And we just felt more at home here. So, you know, it's been a great experience, and, you know, we're glad we're here.
You know, I can echo something off of what he said, because, you know, whenever I tell people I'm from New York, everybody assumes I'm from a big city. And so the first thing I inform them of is there's more cows in my county than there are people. I'm from a town of 3,000 people, and, you know, everybody thinks that Maryville's small. You know, most of upstate New York is extremely rural. And, you know, so I grew up in small towns, so this is like a booming metropolis for me.
Now, so you're at Dakota State, uh-huh. And there's this young, scrappy wide receiver named Charlie Floor.
What don't forget Holder of? Either.
What?
Holder, too.
Yeah.
And Holder. I didn't know that.
Punt return guy.
I knew the punt return part. Wow. What was he like back then? Did you see, like, star in the making when you see Charlie Floor?
No. There wasn't a whole lot of that at Dakota State when we were there. You know, but he was, you know, he was just a tough kid, a cerebral kid, do anything, scrappy, you know, just a great team guy.
Are there any parallels to other receivers you've seen come through Northwest Missouri State that you're like, oh, Charlie's kind of like you?
Sure, Jamaica Rector, you know.
Yeah.
Jake Soy, goes on.
There's all those parallels. Yeah. See, every year you get out, you can embellish a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's just allowed.
Exactly.
So, wide receiver, defensive back here sitting with me. Who is better, do you think, in the college days? Is it Coach Wright shutting down the receiver, or Coach Floor actually going out and being that defensive back?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah,
you guys haven't suited up and went lately?
No. You know, that's one thing you don't do anymore is strap it up, because I'd pull something pretty quickly.
So whenever you guys first worked together, 2004, when you came back, is that right?
No, I was back. Oh, it would have been 06.
06, okay.
Yep.
Okay. When you guys are in that situation, your young coaches and getting your footing in that that realm, and you're working with the likes of, you know, Jim Sobota and Mel Churchma and Scott Bostwick. Did you ever kind of sit back and see those guys having those meetings together and sitting there talking, kind of reminisce about maybe someday you can be in that spot?
Yeah, we did, or I did specifically. You know, it's, you know, when you work with those types of people every day, you know, there's no better feeling than just sit back and watch. You know, and to me, you know, when you do that, you know, you're just kind of like a fly on the wall. You want to sit there and absorb as much information as you can, you know, in all realms of the program. You know, with Coach T being the head coach, it's like, you know, him being the CEO of the football and how he handled every situation that came across. And then the offensive side of the football for me is just, you know, to sit and work with Coach Sobota when I was a GA, and then Coach Doral when I came back, and just this information that you could gather from him. And then there was a lot of stuff from Scott, whether you wanted it or not. Exactly, whether you wanted it or not. But, you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, each one of those people were more than happy to sit down and visit with you about those things. And, you know, it's where we're at right now within Northwest Missouri and in the program now. And it's just, they've given us so much information that we can use on each side of the football, but just in everyday life and recruiting and all the other aspects that we have within college football.
I have to imagine that makes you look at a current graduate assistant a little bit different as you get older and you kind of see them coming through in your shoes just a few years ago. You kind of, yeah, I know what they're going through and what they're about to embark on.
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorite stories to tell them all, you know, because they have to cut tape, you know. And so when they do film now, they get to click a button and everything gets done via computer. When we used to have to do it, Coach Sobota would come into what we call affectionately call the trailer park, which is the GA office, and he would say, okay, Rich, I need a third down cut up. Well, what that consisted of was going through every game on a VHS tape, waiting for a third down and hitting record. And when the play was over, you hit stop. And you would go through every single one of those films every single day. You know, and we did that for practice. We did that. They can download. So one of the reasons we were late, Wednesday's a normal practice for us. Thursday nights were done early, but Wednesday we didn't get off the field till almost 5:50. They can have film downloaded from practice within 30 minutes.
Wow.
We couldn't have downloaded anything in 30 minutes. It was completely fairly labor intensive. The other thing that's nice about the computer age is you don't have to get in a car as a graduate assistant on Sunday morning and drive halfway to where whoever it was we were going to play. We used to draw straws for that.
And so I imagine if there was a non-conference game or heck, even whenever like a Southeast Missouri State was in the conference or one of those schools down south, it was, I'd rather trade with Missouri Western.
No doubt.
Exactly.
I ended up with Mankato State and South Dakota State one year. I got the shaft.
Yeah. So that was the respect that the playoffs aren't fun. You don't want to have to get in the car and drive.
Absolutely.
Well, and don't you wish, too, that you were the guy that invented Huddle? Like, had to be sitting around thinking, like, there's a better way, but then somebody comes up with the technology to come up with that. It's crazy. The parallels between the success at Northwest Missouri State in the continuity within the coaching staff. You guys have been here for a long time. Chad Bostwick was a player here and has been here for quite a while. Joel and Brandon were the same. And then we see Coach Cunningham, a little bit new, but getting his feet established. Is there something to be said for not much turnover? And when there is, it's always a guy that's been here taking over.
I think so. I think the first thing that, you know, Coach T taught all of us, and I think it's one thing we've been able to sustain, is the culture that we have and the way we go about doing things. We feel like there's a right and a wrong way to do things, and it's a lot easier when you have guys that have been exposed to the program over time, delivering a consistent message to our players and community and the organization just as a whole. And then I think having an understanding of the type of community that we live in and what draws attention to Northwest as far as recruits are concerned, what's a Bearcat? And, you know, you get guys from the outside, and I don't think they understand that. And then the final piece I'll take and let Charlie answer is just having guys that that are going to hold themselves and our players to a championship standard. And I think, you know, that's another thing we've always been able to do.
You know, anymore when you get into college athletics, you know, just obviously the amount of success that we've had, and you have the same coaches year in and year out, it makes things a lot easier to go into a kid's home. And when you go into a kid's house and you can sit in front of mom and dad and say, we are going to be there to take care of your son, it just gives that validity, that the trust and respect that the family has, that when they send their kid to our football program, into Northwest Missouri State, into Maryville, Missouri, that's truly going to happen. And in college football, you know, there's been so much turnover. You know, in 2 years or 3 years, if things aren't going right, they're going to try and find a new problem. And even with success, and you know, I know all of our families love it here, and it's a special place. And when you can just go out in the recruiting aspect of it, and you can sit down in front of those parents, you know, it's genuine. And I think those kids, and that's why we've been able to sustain our success that we have, is because we've been able to get those kids that may be in Division I, Division II, but I know these people have been here for 13, 14 years, and they're going to be there for a long period of time and take care of my son, which is ultimately, you know, what we want.
Well, and a couple guys that we have coming on in just a few minutes, Isaiah Strayhorn and Justin Rankin, guys not from Northwest Missouri and kind of branched out just a little bit, but you're able to bring them in and, you know, here's the continuity, here's the success we've had, here's where it comes from, and obviously they've stepped in and gelled together there in that backfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done a great job. I mean, you know, I think it'll be interesting, Matt, to ask the question, you know, because, you know, we can sit here and preach about that stuff all we want, but, you know, ultimately, you know, it's our kids that have to feel it, and I, you know, I've had several conversations with them, but they'll provide you some perspective on just, you know, the way that we do things here.
You guys have seen a lot of games. You've been in rooms with Mel Churchman, Jim Sobota, Scott Boswick. You have to have a couple good stories. And Rich, we have you on a lot. I don't want to put you in a weird spot to tell an embarrassing one on Charlie right now. But a good one to kind of fall back on or to end with here about the Northwest Missouri State whenever you first got here and working with those guys.
Well, I'll never forget when I came here for my GA interview back in 2002. It was in the middle of the spring ball. And we had some fairly good players there at the time. And spring practice wasn't going so well. And, you know, everybody told me, you know, Coach D, you know, he's real calm, mild-mannered man. And, you know, we get out there and practice, like I said, wasn't going so well. And within the first 5 minutes of practice, special teams wasn't going great. And all of a sudden during spring practice, they were running 16-1-10s. And I know Coach D's an old track guy. And I'm thinking, these guys are for real, you know, and it was the one thing, because everybody kind of told, you know, Coach T, he's a calm guy and all this stuff, and I get there in the first 5 minutes of my interview, and they're running for practice, and, you know, that was one thing that, you know, I'll never forget, you know, it's just that first time, but, you know, like I said, they took me in, and, yeah, there's lots of stories. We could sit here all night.
Oh, gosh, but I could give you 100 right now. I'm thinking of the practice where Coach T had to referee between Doral and Boswick. I'm thinking of the time we had to kick off from the 7.5-yard line.
Yes.
Scott didn't think it was a big deal, but we got 2 15-yard penalties against West Texas until we kicked from the 7, and Scott was like, what are we doing? And Mel was like, it's not so funny now, is it, Scott? There's lots of them,
yeah,
over the years.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
We've had some, you know, not conflict, but verbal disagreements within the offices where our head coaches had to pull assistant coaches into the office because before everything got renovated upstairs in Lampkin Activity Center, I was all the way down by the conference room, and we had two assistant coaches that had a disagreement in regards to recruiting. And I could hear them all the way down on the other end of the hall. And Coach Steinmeier, he walked out, and he kind of looks at me, and I go, yep, I know what that one's about. And we both walked in on our door, shut it, and everything was handled.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's been some good ones, there's no doubt.
I have to imagine in the heat of the battle, sometimes that's going to happen. But again, the family atmosphere, you kind of just – hey, it's all right. You say your piece and go on.
You know what? That's the one thing I learned from Scott.
Yes.
Is that, you know, I can be mad as a hornet, but I'll say what I want to say, and then when it's done, it's done. And we're all such good friends. You know, we've been together a long time, and I just think we're such good friends that it's, you know, you just understand it's part of the business, mm-hmm. and then you move on.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like you said, you know, nothing's personal. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we've got a good enough relationship where we know when it's business, and then we know when it's essentially the friendship part of it. And, you know, and when you don't have that, and, you know, you got guys that have been at a lot of different places. You know, some people do take that stuff personal, but, you know, we know we're in it for the better of our kids, and we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that we're putting the program first and not the individuals first. So, you know, that's the one thing we've all learned. And, you know, whether it been Coach T or Adam or even, you know, when Scott was the head coach for those 6 months, and then obviously me now with Coach right here, you know, so I've had the honor of learning different things from four different head coaches, even though I've been at one university for 13 years, which you don't really get, you know. So I feel I've learned a lot, even though I've been here for 13 years. I've had four different bosses, and I've learned from every single one of them.
Whenever Scott Bostwick was defensive coordinator, we were getting some interviews for student media stuff or for some pregame. And, okay, who wants to get to Coach Bostwick? Guy scares me a little bit. Of course, then we actually got into the interview, like, man, this is the nicest guy ever. Who would have thought?
Exactly.
And then you see him on Saturday, like, oh, he's a little more intense.
Yes. You should, you know, now there's some famous Scott Bostwick referee stories. I mean, those are epic. Probably, well, can't be told with the same color with which, you know, he had them take place. I'll never forget one, though, and Coach Churchman told me this story. I hadn't been a graduate assistant there for very long, and at one time they used to have coaches and referees, I guess, golf tournament. And so Coach Sobota was driving around in a golf cart, and he asked the question, you know, you guys have worked with coaches all over the MIAA. Who is, and he goes, you don't even have to finish, your defensive coordinator.
Well, yeah, Coach Bostwick, fiery, but again, nice guy away
yeah,
from the field.
One of
oh,
the
no
best
doubt.
Family
yeah.
men
yeah,
that I've
the,
ever been around.
Good. Biggest hearts in the world. Yeah. Really did.
Guys, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on the Coach's Show. And Coach Wright, we'll have you stick around just a little bit, talk with Isaiah and Justin as well. So we appreciate it. Charlie, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Charlie Flohr and Rich Wright, Northwest Missouri State football coaches, joining us here on the Bearcat Coach's Show. We will take a timeout and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back into Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Northwest Missouri State football is taking on Ferris State this weekend in the Super Region 3 Championship from Big Rapids, Michigan. We're talking Northwest Missouri State football. Now we have head coach Rich Wright joining us, as well as running backs Justin Rankin and Isaiah Strayhorn. Guys, we appreciate you coming in. And it had to be a pretty fun one last week, I would imagine, going against Lindenwood. Not only getting a win in the playoffs, but I would think any time you could run for 413 yards in a game, things are going well, aren't they?
Yeah, most definitely.
Isaiah, talk about what that game was like. You ended up finishing with, if I can find it here on my sheet, 178 yards, a couple touchdowns, and it just seemed like from the first play, both sides of the line of scrimmage were dominated by Northwest Missouri State, and especially offensively, you had some big holes to run through.
Yeah, my line played great, made my job a lot easier, so I just finish runs, and my line opened up the holes and led to a great day running the ball.
And Justin, same thing for you, as you ended up coming out in the football game, 8 carries, 75 yards, and a couple scores, had a reception as well in the football game. And does it just feel like, as the season goes along, that this team just keeps getting better and better and better? Because as you kind of sit back and watch it, I mean, really, you think about from Lincoln on through now, this team's kind of taking steps each game.
Yeah, I mean, every week, you know, we're preaching, you know, pound the ball. That's what we do. We run the ball. And, I mean, every week we get better at it. And it's really nice to see the results on Saturdays, you know, to from practice and what we're doing, and it really showing up and being able to execute that on game day.
Coach Wright, it has to be kind of nice whenever you look at your depth chart, and really you have quite a few talented running backs, but with these guys leading the charge, it has to feel pretty good.
Absolutely. You know, probably the greatest compliment I could pay either of them is just how well they've worked in unison together. You know, it's you know, there's only so many touches to go around at times, and, you know, both of these guys have been phenomenal. If you were ever to watch on our sidelines, they're each other's biggest fans. If one pops off a run, you see the other one running. He'll be running by me to go high five. And it's just, you know, I think it's a testament to their unselfishness and their desire to have an opportunity to hopefully, you know, get to a championship. And we've gotten a conference championship, and these two guys have been a huge part of our success.
Well, Justin and Coach talking about that, and it does seem like there is some true joy on the sideline whenever your teammate's playing well and be coming in for your last year of football eligibility here at Northwest from Kent State. I assume you come to be a Bearcat to win, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, most definitely. Definitely it's enjoyable to win games. And I always tell these guys, like, I like seeing them do things, be successful more than I like seeing myself. So I always get excited when I see him, you know, make a big run or just a big block or anything.
Isaiah, we had Justin on post game on our football game of the day, and he said that you guys doing a little Lamar Jackson, the Hollywood Brown celebration. What was that going on?
Yeah, we 100% stole that from the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. So that's been fun to do that last week, but I'm looking to do that again this week.
Do you have anything else kind of up your sleeve? Anything else we've seen on the sideline before?
No.
I come up with ideas.
Justin just executes.
So what will it take to get into a post-game celebration in the locker room to see Coach Floor and Coach Wright doing that celebration together?
If we beat Ferris State, I better see Coach Wright and Coach Floor doing that dance.
Well, and I'm sure
if you teach me, I'm in. If we beat Ferris State, I'm in.
Now, we definitely have to tell the video guys that we get that on camera because that needs to come out.
No, we're not doing that. That's not happening.
The Coach Wright, Coach Floor dance party. We're talking Northwest Missouri State football. We have head coach Rich Wright, as well as Isaiah Strayhorn and Justin Rankin, a pair of running backs for Northwest Missouri State. Justin, native of Ohio, right?
Correct.
So it has to be in your blood to want to beat a team from Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I can't say what I want to say about Michigan, but don't like Michigan.
So did you come up as an Ohio State guy? Is that your Division I team as a young kid?
Yeah, most definitely. Ohio, baby.
Coming in from Kent State, what was that like playing at Kent and kind of getting your initial playing time at Division I before coming to Northwest?
I mean, it was really nice. You know, obviously it's a blessing. Everyone wants to play at a Division I school, so it was really nice to be able to go there and, you know, set a ground at a Division I school and let everybody know, you know, who I was and what I came to do. So that was nice.
Well, Isaiah, for you, before coming in, a California native getting to Northwest Missouri State University, what's that transition been like coming in? And it's a little bit chillier here in Maryville than I'm sure that you're used to, but coming in and being a Bearcat and it being embraced by the Northwest family, what's that been like for you?
It was an easy transition, a lot easier than I thought. I think the biggest transition I've had to go through is just the weather. It's just a little colder out here, but my team and coaches welcomed me in, so I felt like very connected with my teammates, and I felt welcomed into the family immediately when I got here.
And I expect at this point, I think we're supposed to be in the 30s up in Michigan on Saturday, but you probably enjoy that now, right? You're gonna go sleeveless for the game?
I'm going sleeveless for the game.
Hey, now don't forget, he had a pretty good game up in Michigan last year. Yeah. In the first round of the playoffs. It was funny. I'm going to tell a story real quick. So we were talking about Xavier Omon the last time we had played Grand Valley State, and he was looking up at the scoreboard on his way to a touchdown. Well, lo and behold, so does Isaiah Strayhorn at Grand Valley State. He was looking up the defensive backs on the Jumbotron on his way to a touchdown. So it was pretty cool.
We talk about vision of hitting a hole, but you don't even think about vision of getting in the open field and then finding the video board, but 2019, I guess they're everywhere. Speaking of that, there has to be a certain camaraderie or a certain gelling with your offensive line, doesn't there, to understand the way those blocks are going to work up front. What's that been like to see those guys, those five, all 13 games out there leading the way? And then, of course, Tanner could be becoming an All-American this week. But seeing those guys open up that holes, is there a transition period there of coming in and kind of getting used to them as you go along?
Well, I trust them and they trust me. So I my job is to run the ball, and I trust that they're going to open holes for me, and they never fail to do so. And if we ever get in a slump running the ball, I'm 100% confident that we'll get out that slump and we'll be able to run the ball and do what we do offensively.
Justin, what's the relationship like between a running back and its offensive line?
It's everything. I mean, earlier, you know, in the year, I cooked for the offensive line. You
really?
Gotta feed them. Yeah, you gotta make sure they stay big for you. But no, it's really easy. Definitely with this offensive line. I mean, they're a great group of guys, and I mean, they work hard. So I mean, it's really easy to get along with them. You know, they're not hard heads or anything like that. So,
as a running back, you have to be patient to have that vision to see the holes open up. Is that something that just kind of comes? Is that just an instinct that you develop over time?
Yeah, I think to an extent, a lot of running back is reacting. So you can plan for a hole to be open in a certain spot, and it might not happen, and you can bust off a big run or get no yards. But I think a lot of it is just trusting your offensive line and knowing what it takes to be a running back and make plays when the ball's in your hand.
Le'Veon Bell's one of those guys in the NFL that has that patience that will almost come to a stop before going 0 to 100 miles per hour. Do you guys kind of see a guy like that and kind of try to base it out your style off of theirs, or is there anybody you look up to like that?
I mean, no, you know, I like watching them play. I take little things from them, but, you know, every running back runs different. So in my brain, I mean, you just, however you play, you know, stick to that, stick to your basics, stick to your fundamentals, whatever you're good at, your power guy, run hard. You know, you make people miss in space.
Isaiah, you're the same way, or do you have anybody you model after?
I model after, I agree with Justin. I really take notes from all the great running backs. Barry Sanders is my favorite running back, and Saquon Barkley is a great guy to watch and learn notes from. But at the end of the day, I'm Isaiah Strayhorn, and I'm going to run my way and take those notes from the greats and let that elevate my game. So
we have Northwest running backs Isaiah Strayhorn and Justin Rankin with us, as well as head coach Rich Wright. Before we let you go, you guys both played basketball in high school. If you were to go one-on-one right now, who do you think's coming out on top?
Oh, easily me. Don't even.
No, go ahead. You dropped 50 in a high school game?
We can debate, but if Justin Rankin sees me on the court, it might be bad for him.
You're like 5'5".
5'7" and a half. and I shoot like Steph Curry.
Oh, boy.
I mean.
So you're the Michael Jordan to Justin's LeBron, because MJ's the best. He's the GOAT.
I'm MJ and LeBron, and Justin is a D-League player.
Well, you guys go get a few more wins. We'll wrap up the football season, and we'll get this game going, all right?
Yes, sir.
Guys, we appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Justin Rankin and Isaiah Strayhorn, Northwest Missouri State running backs, joining us, as well as head coach Rich Wright. We will take a timeout and be back with more from Carson Sports Grill at the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet for Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile corner south of Maryville. Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-662-3376. 582-3376. 2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. And Rich Wright still with us here on the Coaches Show. Rich, you've done a good job co-hosting tonight, I think, so.
This one's kind of been a marathon tonight. There's a lot of segments.
I think you got a future in this business.
I've got a face for radio, so I could do.
Oh, me too. Let's just go back last week with the win over Lindenwood and the matchup on that. Jumped on them early and really never took the pedal off the rest of that game.
No, we really didn't. I was really happy with the way our football team played. We executed in all three phases remarkably well. Just felt like we were dialed in and ready to play. We were able to start fast and just never let our foot off the gas.
Another quarterback coming in with a lot of good numbers in Cade Brister, and another quarterback that you really took out of his comfort zone a lot on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we were able to get him off his first read quite a bit, made him move around, and were able to hit him enough that he felt really uncomfortable. We disguised a few different things as far as coverage was concerned, and just think it caused them some problems.
Now, as you look ahead, a familiar opponent coming up, Ferris State, team you faced last year at Big Rapids in a matchup up there. Let's just talk about this year's meeting and some of the things you're looking for out of the way the two teams match up.
Well, the first thing is if you're going to go match up with Ferris, you got to be physical on both sides of the line of scrimmage. They're very big up front. They're well coached. They do a nice job on both sides of the ball. Got good skill kids, So what we have to do is, first and foremost, we've got to be able to fit the run game with our front seven. That was something that we had problems with a little bit last year. Got out of gaps, got out of alignments. Their running style is a little bit different than most of the teams we play. I'd liken them a little more to a North Dakota State as far as their approach. We were throwing a little bit of a curveball because we're planning on having one quarterback to play against. We got three different ones, and they tweaked some things that we just hadn't seen on tape. Other side of the ball, for us, everything kind of runs through their, kind of like us, it runs through their defensive line. They've got good athleticism in the secondary, and so for us, the key is going to be to find ways to run the ball, because that's a big part of what we do, and also kind of catch them a little bit in play action.
This time of year, running the ball is very important, isn't it?
Yeah, as the weather gets colder, like in the previous segment, it's supposed to be 30 degrees up there. You never know what the wind conditions are going to be. So if you can run the football against somebody else, you're going to have a good chance at winning.
You talked about last year preparing for, I believe, J.R. Campbell. He was injured going into that game and didn't play. But the situation this year, too, where he's out, from my understanding, and won't even be most likely even at the arena, stadium. But Travis Russell is a quarterback that's gotten a lot of experience, and he brings him a lot to the table as well.
Absolutely does. He was the kid that played against us last year and played really well. So we're going to have to play a great game. But ultimately, that's what it's about when you're at the round of eight. You're getting out of the regional finals, and, you get to this point in the season and everybody's good. And so, you gotta play well, and you play the next team you got up, and we've got Ferris. And, one of the things that we had talked about in our off season was we wanted another crack at this. So on Saturday, we're going to go take a test.
Always good to be playing football in December, isn't it?
Absolutely it is.
All right. Well, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And Rich Wright, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team. Again, Northwest getting ready to face Ferris State Saturday. It will be a noon kickoff. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 11 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day. For our show here this evening, again, the Northwest Missouri State football on Saturday. Tomorrow we've got basketball in Jefferson City. The Northwest men's and women's basketball teams on the road. They'll open up MIAA play. The women will tip off at 5:30 and the men at 7:30. Our broadcast begins at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women. So a lot coming up here in the next few days. Again, basketball tomorrow, football on Saturday. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast here tonight from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Matt Trenton, along with Jacob Blair, helping out from behind the scenes. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.